Good morning. It's Monday, June 9th. I'm Yasmin Khan, in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, how Donald Trump and Elon Musk could hurt each other. Families with transgender kids are leaving the United States. And a thrilling finish to the French Open. But first to Los Angeles, where President Trump has defied the wishes of the California governor and other local officials and dispatched the National Guard following a series of immigration raids that led to protests and clashes with ICE officials over the course of several days. They started Friday when immigration enforcement teams targeted the Fashion District in LA in three raids where more than 100 people were arrested. One of them was David Huerta, a union leader for service workers, for, quote, obstruction. These raids happened at a local Home Depot. Another was at a clothing wholesaler. As word spread, members of the community started showing up to confront the officers and try to block them. Los Angeles is home to one of the largest undocumented immigrant communities in the country. More than 30% of residents are immigrants. ICE officials ordered protesters to disperse, but as you'll hear, they continued undeterred and were met with armored trucks, agents carrying riot shields and rifles, and agents fired at protesters with rubber bullets and threw flashbang grenades. Protests continued Saturday, this time in Paramount, a small city 20 miles from downtown LA, and in Compton, across the river from Paramount. The New York Times reports ICE officers used more flashbang grenades and rubber bullets on protesters. Some protesters, in turn, reportedly threw rocks, glass bottles, and fireworks at officers. Here's one protester, Maya Malika, speaking to NPR.
Our people are righteously standing up against what's happening with immigrants. And what we're facing right now is Trump's armed Gestapo. We're just seeing a glimpse of the future that Trump wants to implement.
That night, Trump signed a memo authorizing the use of the National Guard, calling the protests, quote, a form of rebellion. It's the first time a president has called upon the National Guard against the wishes of state leaders since 1965. That's when Lyndon Johnson sent troops to Selma, Alabama, to protect civil rights advocates. In a joint statement, California Governor Gavin Newsom and LA Mayor Karen Bass, both Democrats, called the move, quote, an alarming abuse of power. Newsom said Trump was hoping for chaos. When California National Guard troops and officials with the Department of Homeland Security arrived to LA on Sunday, they used smoke and pepper spray to disperse protesters outside a federal detention center. Some of the protesters threw scooters, fireworks, and stones at police vehicles, some of which caught fire. Trump's order will mobilize 2,000 troops for 60 days. And the order is at the discretion of the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth. Hegseth has suggested the Marines could be called in, too. Trump told reporters yesterday that there would be troops everywhere to maintain law and order. And White House border czar Tom Homan told reporters there would be more immigration raids to come.
So you're going to see more teams on the streets you've never seen before. You're going to see more worksite enforcement than you've ever seen in the history of this nation. You got sanctuary cities, or I said, we're going to flood the zone.
Now let's turn to the very public breakup between Elon Musk and President Trump. Over the weekend, Trump suggested their relationship was beyond repair and told NBC there would be serious consequences if Musk began funding the campaigns of Democrats who run against Republicans that vote in favor of the GOP's budget bill. During their social media feud last week, Musk called the bill a disgusting abomination, and he said it would make the U.S. budget deficit worse and put Americans into, quote, crushing debt. Meanwhile, Vice President J.D. Vance echoed Trump's warnings when he spoke to podcaster Theo Vaughn.
I think it's a huge mistake for him to go after the president like that. And I think that if he and the president are in some blood feud, most importantly, it's going to be bad for the country. But I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be good for Elon either.
So what could the world's richest man and the president of the United States do to each other and to the country as their relationship continues to unravel. Trump has already threatened to cut off federal contracts and subsidies to Musk's companies, including SpaceX. Bloomberg's Ted Mann told us what that could mean.
They are the dominant player in this particular market, at least for this near term. We don't know what that will look like in half a decade or so, but it's probably at least that far away that there's someone else who could just step in.
Mann told us if Trump were to cancel SpaceX contracts, they wouldn't be easy to replace.
That means food for the International Space Station, travel back to Earth for the astronauts who are up there. When the facility itself is decommissioned, it's probably going to be a SpaceX rocket that brings it back to this planet. So for the government of the United States to suddenly have to go without SpaceX would be a huge logistical problem. So it's a real threat.
Cutting funding to SpaceX would also threaten Starlink, a division of the company with growing links with the government. It received $3.8 billion in government contracts last year alone. Starlink, as you may know, is a satellite internet service that aims to provide internet access to hard-to-connect areas. It's been a critical tool in Ukraine's war efforts, to the point where Musk has reportedly joined at least one call between Trump and President Zelensky. The Defense Department and other U.S. agencies have come to heavily rely on Starlink, too. So much so that Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren wrote a letter to Secretary of State Marco Rubio over the weekend, asking for reassurances of contingency plans in the events of contracts being canceled. And while there's growing concern about this rift, Mann reminds us that it's hard to know where all of this will end up.
Both Musk and Trump say a lot of stuff that they don't follow through on. So I do think there's been a lot of chest pounding and will remain to be seen what actually happens in the coming days. But for both sides, it would be a huge logistical and practical challenge if they went through with this.
This weekend, tens of thousands of people marched in pride parades around the country. The celebrations come amid a series of executive orders from President Trump related to transgender rights. One prohibits federal funds from going to hospitals that provide transition-related care to minors. Another bars trans girls and women from competing in girls and women's sports. Another prevents trans people from getting passports that match their gender identities. And there's one that bans trans people from military service. Many of these orders are being challenged, but trans kids and their parents regularly report that they're fearful of the growing resentment towards them. A recent Pew Research poll of LGBTQ+ adults found that just 13% said that they feel trans people are accepted in the United States.
So over the last 2 months, I've been talking with trans folks from across the U.S. who have either already moved or are planning to leave the country due to Trump's recent policies targeting the community.
That's Joe Yerkeba with NBC. They spoke with five families who have already left or plan to leave the United States. That includes Chase and her family.
Chase is a fourth grader in Denver. She's a trans girl who has been receiving care at the Children's Hospital in Denver. And her parents told me that that was really the driving factor of like what made them decide to leave, was that about 2 weeks into Trump's presidency, he issued an executive order that barred really any federal funds, but specifically research and education grants, from going to hospitals that provide transition-related care to minors.
And though that order was overturned by a federal judge, the Supreme Court will be weighing in on the issue soon. And with all the uncertainty, Chase's parents made the difficult decision to move the family out of Colorado and relocate to New Zealand, where some gender-affirming care is publicly funded and available to minors. With flights, visa applications, lawyer fees, and fees associated with moving their pets, the move is set to cost between $65,000 and $80,000. Chase told NBC, it's hard knowing that her family had to uproot their lives for her.
She sort of reiterated that throughout the interview, is that it makes her very sad, that it sort of weighs on her heavily. Her parents mentioned that it's something that she talks about in therapy regularly. So even though she's in fourth grade, it's something that she's very much aware of, and it's always sort of hanging over her.
Chase's mom told NBC that when she found out her dad got a job in New Zealand, Chase burst into tears of happiness. Before we let you go, a few other stories we're following. Israeli forces boarded and seized a ship containing humanitarian aid for Gaza, which was carrying activist Greta Thunberg, a member of the European Parliament, and others. Israel detained all those on board, and the government said Monday the vessel is now on its way to Israel, and the activists will be sent to their home countries. A human rights attorney and organizer of the aid mission, which set sail on June 1st, told The Guardian that Israel had no legal authority to detain the crew in international waters or confiscate the aid. The flotilla was not carrying enough aid to make a dent in Gaza's starvation crisis, but it was carrying some food, baby formula, and medical supplies. Over the weekend, before the ship was intercepted, Thunberg and another activist told CNN that they had seen drones hovering above them for days, but felt there was, quote, no turning back.
We know that it's a very risky mission, and we know that previous experiences with flotillas like this has resulted in attacks, interceptions, violence, and even cases of death. But of course, none of those risks are even remotely as high as to the risk that Palestinians are facing every day just by trying to survive.
Meanwhile, in Gaza, at least four people were killed over the weekend as they tried to get food from a distribution point. According to Gaza health officials, more than 80 people have been killed near aid sites since this new distribution system started roughly 2 weeks ago. In domestic news, Kilmar Abrego Garcia is back in the United States after being wrongly deported and imprisoned in El Salvador. But that doesn't mean he's free. The Trump administration is charging him with federal crimes, which he and his family deny. This week, he'll have an arraignment and detention hearing. This all comes weeks after the Supreme Court said his deportation was illegal and ordered the government to facilitate his return. In an interview with NBC News, Trump downplayed his role in securing Abrego Garcia's return and said it was the Justice Department's decision, and not his, to bring him back. And finally, it was a dramatic finish at the French Open men's final. Carlos Alcaraz defeated Jannik Sinner in a marathon five-set final that went into a sixth hour, making it the longest final match in French Open history. Here's CBS's Russ Thaler reacting to the epic match.
Wow, wow, wow. From what we just saw, I think it's the greatest tennis match I've ever seen.
It is Alcaraz's fifth Grand Slam title and his second at the French Open. And on the women's side, Coco Gauff became the first American to win the French Open since Serena Williams in 2015. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, stick around for a narrated article. Wired has the story of how police in Colorado solved a deadly arson attack and why their tactics should have everyone concerned about the privacy of their Google searches. If you're listening in the podcasts app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.